you know, the economy of the world is about to break totally.
Wow.
But God's got an economy, the only one actually that's going to work in the coming time. The church has followed the worldly example of the economy for the church, and that's of course not going to work in the days to come. God's going to see to it. That's why He's breaking everything. Matter of fact, I got a really neat dream here I'd like to share with you. My brother Mark Meyer back in 2005 sent it to me.
Sure, sure.
He says he and four or five, let's see, this was actually given to a guy named Reuben in their fellowship. And he said he and four or five others went to a mall in this dream in a big city. And when he got there, everything was normal. Soon everybody started to leave the mall so that they, too, left the mall. And when he got outside, he was amazed at what he saw. All around him was destruction everywhere.
Wow.
Besides everything deserted and in ruins, there was a very large upside-down funnel, you know, kind of like a tornado except upside down, like a whirlwind that was going up into the sky. And what was going up into the sky was money and ATM machines and lots of money just sucking up into the sky and disappearing. And they then tried to find their way out of this city and decided to split up and to look for a way out. And he, and of course I believe that this is talking about a way out of the world economy, which God is already planning and already providing, you know, as the Bible clearly teaches. And it goes on to say he and a couple of others went to the top of this clover leaf ramp, and when they got to the top, they looked down and saw a group of people well-dressed and in real nice limousines, and they were very calm through the whole thing. In other words, you know, the fat cats, they have already designed a way out of this thing, too. They knew it was coming before the common folks did, and they've been planning for it, and they've been, you know, actually behind a lot of it. But the next dream I got, in fact, I got it today from Bill Rowe, one of our elders, and he had a dream that he was actually, Bill used to be a paramedic, and he delivered babies sometimes in the ambulance. And in his dream, the husband of a woman who was about to give birth decided he didn't need Bill's help. He was just going to birth this baby himself, you know. And in the dream, actually, the Lord spoke and said, and he commented to the husband how that this situation in the economy is an analogy of giving birth, and how this must be the beginning of the birth pains that will put us into the tribulation. Well, I've believed that for a long time, too. So I believe that what God's doing is He's breaking this economy. Some people say the world is, and that's true. They are, because anytime you go contrary to God's biblical principles, you've got something that will break. And, of course, this is breaking. I mean, and I was reading a Leap. Some of y'all probably know who Leap E2020 is. They did an alert here recently, and they've been pretty close on a lot of things, and their advice concerning this worldly economy has saved some pretty big banking organizations, a couple of the biggest, because they acted on what they said, and they believe that this thing is going to be broken here sometime in the summertime. I mean, totally broken. And it could be. The only thing I believe is that I've been saying for some time that we were coming to the 7 years of famine. And the way the Lord showed that to me was in Genesis and Joseph. You know, Joseph was, as you know, Joseph was like Jesus, sold into bondage by his own brothers, sold for silver, lied about by the harlot, just like Jesus was, and cast into prison, just like Jesus was. All that was a sign, a symbol of Joseph being like Jesus, and Jesus, of course, is the sign of the man-child, because he said he was coming again as a man-child in John 16. And, of course, we know the man-child ministry in Revelation 12 is the same ministry as Joseph's ministry for the 7 years of famine. It was to lead the woman through the wilderness. And but there's a really neat thing happens in Genesis chapter 40. It kind of leaves the testimony of Jesus off, because, as you know, Joseph was in prison with the butler and the baker, And we know that Jesus also went and preached to the spirits in prison, which of course meant death, you know, in Sheol. He went and preached to the spirits in prison, and he preached that the butler was going to go up and serve Pharaoh, and that the baker was going to be condemned. And of course, that's a type of Jesus going and preaching to the people in Sheol, and took captivity captive, and those people, of course, went up to be beneath the Father, you know. And Joseph was, you know, when Joseph came out of prison, he was second only. He was second in the kingdom only to Pharaoh, who was the sun god, right? So, I mean, there's a typology there that Pharaoh is being used and Egypt is being used as the kingdom, because the 7 years of famine was only in the world. It was over all the world, over all the earth, according to Genesis, except in Egypt. And Egypt had a different economy because of Joseph's coming along and showing them this different economy that was going to save the people who were coming out of the world and into the kingdom. But a neat thing happens there in Genesis 40 because there's a little shift. Now we know at the end of the 3 days that Joseph preached about that Jesus came out of prison. But all of a sudden there's a shift in Genesis 41, and instead Joseph stays in prison for 2 full years. Okay? Well, the Lord showed me that he did this to show us that he is moving from the typology of Jesus' time when he came out of prison 2,000 years into the future to speak about the man-child's time, which is, of course, in the time of the 7 years of plenty and the 7 years of famine. So in Genesis 41, it says, "And it came to pass at the end of 2 full years. That Pharaoh dreamed," and you know his dream, right? The dream about the cows and the corn and the plenty and the starvation, you know. And so, of course, we believe that that's probably a larger judgment than we think on the cattle and on the crops, I would guess. But at least after 2 full years. It actually doesn't say after. It says at the end of 2 full years. Now, when I was reading this, the Lord pointed out to me that the 5th and 6th millennia, which the 5th millennia started with the birth of the man-child Jesus, and the 6th millennia leads us almost to the birth of the man-child in our day, because we were told in Hosea 6, 2 and 3, that Jesus is going to come again as the latter rain on the morning of the 3rd day, you know, which is the morning of the 7th day, depending upon which Adam you count from. If you count from the first Adam, it's the morning of the 7th day. If you count from the last Adam, as Jesus is called, it's the morning of the 3rd day. So those are actually the same day. So here we go, 2 full years. That's the 5th and 6th millennium, which I believe brings us up to 2001 in September. And I've been saying that for some time, that I believe that that was going to start, or did start, the 7 years of plenty. Well, you know, after these 2 full years, then this revelation of the 7 years of plenty and the 7 years of famine come. And as you know, Joseph had God's economy that if you stored up under him, it would be restored in the 7 years of famine. And, of course, I've been preaching that for a long time, too, that people think, oh, we got to store up on earth, but that's not the typology. The typology here is that Joseph is Jesus. And we're told very plainly by Jesus to not store up on earth, but to store up in heaven. And then we're told in Luke chapter 12 how to store up. And first he tells us in Matthew chapter 6, store not up your treasures on earth where moth and rust and thieves break through and steal, but store up your treasures in heaven. And then, of course, he tells us again in Luke chapter 12. Let me read that to you. He says, but seek ye his kingdom, and these things shall be added unto you. That's part of it. Fear not, little flock, for it's your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Sell that which you have, give alms, Make for yourselves purses which wax not old, a treasure in the heavens that faileth not, where no thief draweth near, and neither moth destroyeth. So this is how he says we store up in heaven is, of course, he said we give alms. We meet, in other words, we meet the needs of the brethren around us. You know, Luke chapter 6 tells us, give and it'll be given unto us, good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over, shall men give into our bosom. Well, I've been able to prove this by the grace of God, because God sent me into a wilderness. He told me that he was sending me into a wilderness many years ago, and he didn't give me any visible means of support other than the principles of the Scripture. And Luke chapter 6 is one of the ways that I ended up supporting myself, because I learned that if I did what God did said there, that he would multiply it back. And I learned I didn't have to, in fact, in the very beginning of my ministry, I never did take up an offering or charge tithes, as some people do, or any such thing as that. But the Lord taught me that I don't have to do any of those things. All I have to do is get into his economy, and he showed me how his economy worked. His economy isn't buying and selling as the world is. You know, as you know, he spoke very disparagingly of buying and selling. He said there'll be marrying and giving in marriage and buying and selling. And obviously God doesn't care much for that, and he doesn't, because it's a worldly economy. But God's economy is giving and receiving. It's a great blessing to give. You get a reward for giving. You get none for buying and selling, because you receive again as much as what you give, you see. But when you give freely, God multiplies it back to you. Not only that, he's telling you that he stores it up under Jesus in heaven, where moth and rust and thieves cannot break through and steal. Even 7 years of famine can't steal it. But if you do that, now this is not a gimme sermon, folks. I don't give a hoot if you give me any money whatsoever. You see, it doesn't matter to me, because I'm not trusting in you. I'm trusting God. This is not a gimme sermon. This is for you. I'm telling you this for you. We're still in the 7 years of plenty. It's coming to an end. And this economy, the bees dying off, all these things that are happening around us is showing you that it's coming to an end, okay? And what I'm telling you is, those of you that are storing up on earth, the thieves are coming for it, okay? Even if you got it in gold, listen, there's going to be a gold grab. I don't know if you know it. This will be the second gold grab that they've done, that they will do, I believe. And nothing you can put your money into on earth except for investing in the kingdom of God and investing in your brother's welfare on your right and on your left, you know, is really going to store it up in the kingdom of heaven so that you can get it back anytime you need it. Now, that's what Joseph did. His part of his ministry, he was the man-child that led God's people through the wilderness of that day. And the real good news is that all of Israel, when there was a famine over all of the earth, they knew that there was bread only in one place, and that was in the kingdom. And they went in underneath Joseph to get fed during this time. You know, Jesus did the same thing. When they were out in the wilderness, what did he do? He multiplied the fishes and the loaves. He was God's provision for that time. And Moses also, you know, was God's provision in the wilderness. He was the man-child. He was the one that God had trained in his own wilderness and then sent out there. Joseph also, David also. David was trained in his own wilderness so that he got anointed and he took the throne and he led Israel from his 30th year onward, just like Jesus was 30 years old when he was anointed to be king, to sit in the throne of David, according to Luke chapter 1. And rule over spiritual New Testament Israel. All these types are repeated over and over and over in the Bible so we can see what's going to happen. Now, Joseph is the type that God has given unto us to prepare us for the time to come. And Joseph was God's provision. He took up during the 7 years of plenty. The grain that he took up has really two symbolisms to it. Number one, that was their economy. That was their provision. That was their food. But also, he stored up. The Bible said that they said that there was bread in Egypt. They called it bread in Egypt. And so they went to Egypt to get bread. There is a famine of the word coming in all of the Saul ministry. They're not going to know what to do because they've never lived in the wilderness. They've never lived by faith. And so they're not going to know what to do. They're going to have no provision. They're going to have no answers. There's going to be a famine of the word. If you remember what I said last time is, you know, something that God is showing now, and that is that the Saul ministry is dying now. It's dying not physically, it's dying spiritually. The Philistines took Saul out. His war with the old man who lived in the land, and we're the land in which the old man and the new man are at war, the old man took Saul out and took all Israel who was following Saul out. They all died. They were all killed. And when the rest of Israel discovered what happened and they saw that Saul was dead, they fled the cities. And the Philistines came and dwelt in those cities. And the Lord spoke to me that those cities represent congregations of God's people. They're leaving those dead cities. They found out Saul, their leader, was dead. Folks, he's been dead. I don't know if any of you have been in some of these dead churches, but he's been dead for a while. He's been dying for a long time, you know. He wouldn't kill the Amalekites, and he went after foreign spirits for direction, a familiar spirit for direction, and God just killed him, you know, at the hands of the Philistines. But the very next thing that happened was all Israel came and anointed David to be king. Now that's Joseph, and that's Jesus, as Luke 4 tells us very plainly. You know, Jesus was also anointed at the age of 30, same as David, in order to be the king over Israel. Now God's getting ready to do the same thing. He's got this ministry that he's raising up, this man-child ministry, that knows how to live in the wilderness, that's been providing for the wilderness, bread too. Been providing bread, been storing up bread in the 7 years of plenty for the 7 years of famine. I'm talking about the word now. I'm not just talking about physical provision for your life, but the bread that comes down out of heaven that gives life to the world, Jesus Christ, the Word of God, you see. So they've been storing this up, and God's been preparing them to feed in this coming wilderness the people who are basically going to be starving to death out there in their dead churches. But they're going to be coming out. That's the great news, is a great revival. All Israel, a lot of people don't understand this, but all Israel anointed David. That is, all of those that didn't die under Saul anointed David. When Jesus came, he preached that sermon in Matthew 13 about his disciples asked him, well, why are you speaking to them in parables? They don't understand your parables, you know. He said, because unto you it's been given to know the mysteries of the kingdom, but to them it's not given. Well, that was God's people he was talking about. That was God's people. Now the church is in this situation. Just like reprobate Israel was in that situation, now reprobate church is in that situation. God, at this time, leading up to the ministry of Jesus, leading up to the ministry of man-child, there is a great falling away. God is taking away understanding. He is not going to permit some of these people who have plundered his people, his crop, I'm talking about the leadership in particular, and those who have followed after lies, he's not going to permit some of them to see and to understand the things that he is about to do. And he's hiding it from them. He's hiding it from them in parables. And that's why these parables are like this. They, you know, it's the glory of God to conceal a thing. It's the glory of kings to seek it out. So God has hidden these things in there. Now, Joseph is has been doing this. He's been preparing. Just like David prepared in his own wilderness, he was chased by Saul, hated by Saul, made war on by Saul. But when Saul died, then David was coming out of his own personal wilderness in order to bring Israel through their wilderness. And he was anointed king. That's a typology of what is about to happen. I believe that we're in our last year now. Okay, I believe that probably by the end of next year, we will have started into this tribulation and into the 7 years of famine, and this economy will totally be broken. Of course, they're going to have a stopgap measure that's going to bring all the world together into their economy, but it's not going to work. It's still going to be called, what, 7 years of famine. Yeah, so the world is not going to give up, and of course they're going to try to force their system upon us. But we got one that works. We know it works because the promises of God don't care. It doesn't matter to the promises of God whether you're in an economic breakdown or not. They're still the promises of God. They still work. It doesn't matter. I mean, why did God lead them into a wilderness to prove to them that he could supply their needs? Well, it was to show his glory, right? He proved to them it had nothing to do with the world's economy. God's promises have nothing to do with the world's economy. They are true. They are true in a wilderness where there is no provision. And so that's where we're going. And that's why God has been treating me this way for the last many years, you know, so that I can tell you that God is, in fact, he told me that. He says, I'm bringing you through a wilderness so you can tell my people that I still supply in the wilderness. Can God prepare a table in the wilderness? They asked in Psalms. Well, yes, he can, and he's gonna. But it's gonna be for all Israel. Now, who's all Israel? Well, if you go to Romans chapter 11, you find out it's not at all what the worldly churches thought. Where he speaks of all Israel there in Romans chapter 11, he describes them as these people. First of all, it's the Jews who stayed grafted into their olive tree through faith in Jesus Christ. It's the church who was grafted into the olive tree through faith in Jesus Christ. And it's a remnant of the Jews that's going to be grafted back in our day, who's going to enter into their old olive tree through faith in Jesus Christ. Now, that's all Israel. Only the people who are circumcised in heart, as Romans chapter 2 says, is a Jew in the New Testament. Okay? That's what the Bible says. You'll have to go argue with the Bible, some of you folks. But the truth is, in the spiritual New Testament Jews are those who have faith in Jesus Christ. Now, all Israel came and anointed David and submitted to him. In 2 Chronicles 11 and 2 Chronicles 12, it gives you a list of the mighty men that came out of Israel to come and serve with David in the kingdom. And even those that were with him in the wilderness before he was anointed were listed there. That's these times right now. See, there is a David ministry right now who's going through their own wilderness and getting prepared to show God's people, this is what you must do. This is how the kingdom works. It doesn't work that way, buying and selling. It works this way. You know, when you give, you're storing up in the kingdom of heaven when you give, not when you buy and sell, when you give, you know. And if somebody takes away your goods, why do you think Jesus said, don't ask them again, don't worry about it? In other words, you just turn it into a gift, you see, because you turn it into a blessing when it's a gift, because when you give, you get it multiplied back. If a guy returns it, you get nothing. You don't even get a reward, you know, except you're being kind to give to someone. But if you receive it back, you receive a like amount, you know. But if you give, it's multiplied back. Now, this is how people are going to be able to live in the wilderness. People can make a living just by giving. And I'm not talking about giving to preachers now. I'm talking about meeting the needs of the brethren around you, being a vessel through whom God can bless his people. And, God's parable there is there, too. I mean, where was the storehouse? It was in the midst of the temple. You know, when they talked about bringing the tithe into the storehouse, they were talking about, in the Old Testament, bringing it into a physical temple. But, hey, we're the temple in the New Testament. And when you bring your sowing and reaping, you know, as 2 Corinthians chapter 8 says, if we sow bountifully, we'll reap bountifully, and if we sow sparingly, we'll reap sparingly. When we give from a cheerful heart, you know, out of our heart, not according to the law, not under the law, when we give that to people around us, it's being stored up in the kingdom of heaven, and we get a reward for it, and it's multiplied back. He said he will multiply your seed for sowing there. See? So you can make a living. I know it. I've proved it. You can make a living that way just by giving. Even giving out of your need, it doesn't matter, because God will make sure you get your needs met, and it will be multiplied so that you can turn around and do it again. And but Joseph, notice, all Israel, just like we see with David and just like we see with Jesus, all Israel, when the famine was upon the world, it drove them out of the world to seek bread in Egypt, which represented the kingdom. And guess who was there to give it to them? Well, Joseph was. And because God had raised up Joseph for that time, just like he raised up Jesus for his time, just like he's raising up the man-child in our time. The man-child is actually Jesus manifested in his people. I mean, this is the promise of the kingdom anyway. Christ in you, the hope of glory. It just happens to be the first fruits of those that have come to maturity because Christ lives in them. How would you like Christ to lead you through this coming wilderness?
Yeah.
You know, the book of Revelation calls the wilderness the tribulation in Revelation 12 and Revelation 17. The first 3.5 years, in Revelation 12, it calls the wilderness. And in Revelation 17, the second 3.5 years is called the wilderness. So we got a 7-year wilderness coming, a 7-year famine over all the world except in the kingdom.
Amen.
The problem is, we've got to learn to live in the kingdom. Most of God's people are living in the world.